Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. And today our message is titled, The Benefits of Church Membership. The Benefits of Church Membership. We're doing a series on Sunday mornings talking about the New Testament church and talking about how the New Testament church speaks of a community of believers who are living in a relationship with one another. We're not living isolated lives, but we're living in community with one another. One of the most noticeable things about the New Testament church when you read the Bible is that it involved meetings. It involved a coming together, and this is called worship. And so worship is both private and corporate. It's something we do alone in our individual lives daily as we live our lives for God. We honor Him. That's worship. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But it's also corporate. When we come together like this on a Sunday morning to worship God, some think worship is just private. It's just something you do yourself alone. And that's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches a coming together. There is this corporate worship that's supposed to take place. And so some think, well, you know, I can just worship God at the golf course, or I can worship God at the lake. And you can. You can. But most people who say that, well, I can worship at the lake or I can worship at the golf course, don't do that. Right? They don't worship there. They just say they could, but they don't. And so there's a big difference in knowing you can and actually doing it. Now, I would say don't get in the habit of doing that, right, on the golf course or at the lake, because then you're going to be doing what the Hebrew writer says don't do, and that is forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some. And so forsaking the assembly is not to become our habit. We are to meet together to worship God. God must always be first in our lives. We must always put God first. We are to meet together to worship God. And God deserves our worship. God must always be first. To put Him second is idolatry. So think about that for just a moment. Anytime we put God second, that is idolatry. Idolatry is mentioned and condemned in the Bible more so than any other sin. Maybe you didn't know that, but it is. The sin of idolatry is condemned more than any other in the Bible. Idolatry is the root of all sin. So let me give you a definition of sin. Sin is first allegiance to secondary things. Sin is first allegiance to secondary things. Anytime we give allegiance to secondary things, the sin of idolatry is not far behind. God must always be first. God seeks and God desires our worship. Let me read this to you. This is John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Jesus says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And so God is seeking worshipers. He's seeking those who would worship Him in spirit and in truth. The community of faith helps us fulfill that duty. The community of faith helps us to worship God. It keeps us on track. It keeps us focused. Because if we didn't come here and do this on Sunday, what would you be doing on Sunday? What would you be doing right now if we didn't do this? You might be at the golf course. You might be at the lake. You might be in front of the television set. You might be doing a number of things. No, this meeting together like we do, keeps us focused, keeps us on God, so that we seek the things above, not the things that are of this earth. And so the community of faith helps us to seek the things above, helps us to stay heavenly minded, keeps our mind on God. And so the community of faith is extremely helpful when it comes to my faith in God. But number two, you need a church family to help you face problems in life. And this we call fellowship. Fellowship. So we need a church family to help us face problems in life. This is called fellowship. Listen, Paul writing in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. I love this verse. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct himself in the household of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and support of truth. I love that phrase, the living God, the church of the living God. And so God wants to help you as you face trouble in life. That's one of the things we see over and over. Cast all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. And so we need the support of a church family. And there is a difference between attending and being part of a church family. There's a big difference between those two. You can attend and never be a part of a family. But the church is a family. It's a community of believers. And we're supposed to be involved in one another's lives and daily. Not just the Lord's Day. Not just Wednesday. But daily we're supposed to have fellowship with one another. And I realize we can't fellowship every single person every day of the week, but we're supposed to be in community with our brothers and sisters every day of the week. We're told to encourage one another. Let me just go back and read a passage out of Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, verse 12 says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Notice verse 13. "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Notice, exhort one another daily. Daily. We need daily exhortation. We need daily encouragement. Why? Because the devil dogs our tracks all the way to the grave. And he will never give up. He will see to it that life is extremely hard for you. The church is not a place to go. It's a family to which you belong. Think about that. And if you don't have a church family, then you don't have what it takes to get along in this world. And there are times when, you know, we need a hug. There are times when we need encouragement. There are times when we need one another's help. There are times when we need each other's support. There are times when we need each other's love. And this is real. We need these things. And without the church, you're on your own. You don't have any of that. You're just on your own, doing your own thing. And what a lonely life that must be. Christianity is a one another religion. And that's what we've been looking at on Sunday morning in the Bible class, looking at these one another passages. And there are 58 of them in the New Testament that shows the relationship that we're supposed to have in the body of Christ. Let me just list some of these for you. Number one, we're supposed to love one another. Number two, be devoted to one another. Number three, honor one another, which we talked about this morning. Number four, rejoice with one another. Number five, have the same mind toward one another. Number six, accept one another. Number seven, care for one another. Number eight, serve one another. Number nine, be kind to one another. Number 10, Forgive one another. That's a biggie. Forgive one another. Number 11. Be tender-hearted toward one another. Number 12. Show hospitality to one another. Number 13. Not to speak against one another. Number 14. Bear one another's burdens. Number 15. Number 14, bear one another's burdens. So without the church, folks, we're going to crumble under the pressure and weight of life because it's tough. It's tough. And we need the community of faith to help us and assist us in this walk in this world to do all the things that I just mentioned and many, many, many more. And so the church, it's a community. It's a family. It's not a building we come to on a Sunday morning, but it's the family of God, the community of faith. Number 3, you need the church to prepare you to contribute. And we call this ministry. You need the church to prepare you to contribute. This is called ministry. Ministry is not something that just preachers do. Ministry is something that we all do. We're all involved in. Every member needs to use their gifts. Whatever your talents, whatever your abilities are, you're supposed to use them in the body of Christ for the good of the church. We need you to do whatever it is God's gifted you to do. Because if you don't do it, nobody's going to do it. God gifted you. And so it's up to you to take that gift and utilize it and benefit the body of Jesus Christ. It's hard to do ministry alone. And especially when there's only 20% of the body or less doing ministry. Ministry is extremely hard when you have those kinds of numbers. There should be 100% involvement in the body of Christ. Not 20%, not 15%, not even 50%, but 100%. All are to be involved in the body of Christ, the church. And there are a couple of passages of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12, we read this morning, where Paul talks about our gifts. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about gifts that he's given the church. And then in Romans chapter 12, he talks about gifts he's given to the body of Christ. And then in Ephesians, or 1 Peter chapter 4, so you have, you know, 5 passages of Scripture that speak of our gifts and talents and abilities. And what is God saying? He's saying, utilize them, use them. They're not given to you just to have. They're given to you to use, to benefit the church. You need to use your gift. You need to minister to the family of God. That's what God calls us to do. During World War II, there was a beautiful statue of Jesus in a small French town. And a bomb went off and blew this statue to pieces. And this community came together to repair this statue of Jesus. And they were able to put the entire statue back together with the exception of the hands. They could not find the hands. And so they decided that they would just put a plaque on the statue, and the plaque reads, "I have no hands but your hands. I have no hands but your hands." And that's true. Where are Jesus' hands? They're right here. And they're on you too. And so ministry is something we all do. We have to roll up the sleeves and we need to dig in and engage in ministry. Do the work of God. Next week, we're going to talk about how we can find our place. We can know what it is that God calls us to do in the body of Christ. And so this morning, if you're not active, you're not busy, and you're not involved in the body of Christ, then this message is speaking to you today, and it's encouraging you to step up and get involved. be a part of church ministry because we need you. We cannot get along without you. And again, it's my body. There's no member of my body that I can get along without. Now, I can, but I don't want to. Right? I mean, I could do without a hand, but man, life is so much better with two of them. Why would I just want one? And my leg, I mean, yeah, I can get along with one leg. But man, two is so much easier. So much better. Makes life a lot easier, right? And so, we need you. We need you. You might be a leg, you might be a foot, you might be a big toe, you might be a baby finger. It doesn't matter. Whatever you are, your gift is valuable to the church, and we need you. And we want to honor you by recognizing that your gift is significant, whatever that is. It can be a behind-the-scenes gift. It doesn't have to be an out-front gift. We honor you because God's gifted you, and we need that gift that you have, and we encourage you to utilize that gift. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then we want to encourage you this morning to respond to the invitation. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and God in love acted, sent Christ to come and die. He paid the penalty of our sins on the cross, and 3 days later He rose again from the dead. And so He offers salvation. He offers forgiveness of sins. If you've never accepted the forgiveness of sins that He offers in Jesus, today you have that opportunity. And we encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.